This is Mitch Little U, beginning on Friday, December 27th, 1978, and going through to the end of March, the same, in 1979. So it starts with Reconstruction Experiments, etc. To find the right conditions for hybridization. So Anne Bleckel made a mega plate with about 290,000 plaques of 4A delta lac containing about 520 4A dash 51.1 phages, so it was 520 out of 290,000. That would be roughly 1 in 500 or there, about 1 in 600 phages. And the tests showed that the titer on a 4A 51.1 is not altered, about 11,000 of 4A total. Our plaques are very small, as usual, about half size of usual. about a third the size of the usual plaques. And so we're lifting these and try hybridizing to the plaque just to try to make sure that we can find positives that we know are there in a big plate, on the mega plate, which was in the cafeteria trays. And on film, and comments that the 3A controls look fine, but no sign of the 4As yet in 3.5 hours. Here is the result at 53 hours, which maybe we'll find the answer. So January 1st, 1979, a new one. A conclusion, the page 3 experiment is that 4A takes more probe. Counting the number of counts per square centimetre, 200,000 counts per mil and 20 microliters per square centimetre. And the probe, etc., calculation of how much probe to use. So here's the beginning. An experiment with a comment on flying from Miami to Pamplona, to Sangüesa, to Madrid with Field Maury. Shotgun with shared DNA on Tuesday, January 23rd. Decided to have a completely random 24A shotgun. Try shearing, banding, etc., etc. Ideas of how to do that. So the shear experiment was started on January 24. starting this year, it's not listed about how the shear was done. After the shearing was carried out for up to 120 minutes. About one milliliter, 6,000 RPM. A blade used for a stirrer with a blade, a horizontal blade, and the 6,000 RPM is the medium setting of the RPM of that particular vertice shearing machine, which could nominally go up to 23,000. But here I say that about 18,000 seems to be the top speed. The blade is once supplied, and then shearing, one can indeed see that it is progressing on the gel shown on page 12. But the conclusion is that it need to increase the RPM. Which is done then on the following page at high, sheared at 9,000 RPM in the cold room, with a conclusion that not too much, but the starting material was smaller than the overloaded gel suggests, so try 1 hour at 7,500 instead of 9,000. So shear was continued on January 26th, page 17. With the gel showing the very clear effect of the shearing. Saturday, January 27, page 20, some comments on how to get to correct the ends, that it might be better to continue filling in the DNA to the end with a polymerase, use an S1 nuclease to get rid of any that was overhanging in the other direction. So an overhang of a 5' phosphate could be filled in by polymerase, and an overhang of a 3' hydroxyl could be removed with S1. There's a DNA one polymerase being talked about on page 21, and some comments on what other people use. Thoughts on what to use. with a comment on page 23 of the various considerations. This is very complex to cover the cases not covered by partial R1. Therefore, try straight blunt interrogation to the page and forget about R1 cutout, etc. So I was feeling it was too complicated. Continue in this vein. Test ligations on January 29th, page 31. With a comment there that I to see 2 microliters of Eco R1 JS number 2, 20 units per microliter. That was an Eco R1 preparation that Jerry Slyton made, that number 2 preparation, 20 units per microliter, which we used for at least 10 years afterwards. It was a very good preparation of Eco R1 that Jerry had made. The ligation tests on Tuesday, January 30th, with a BioLabs technical data sheet talking about the DNA, T4 DNA ligase, which requires ATP, and used for about 10 units per microliter to get cohesive ends, and 2 units per microliter to ligate blunt ends. And so testing these ideas with Jerry has some 4A largely cleaned of inserts that has been treated with R1 and gradient fractionated and tested for ligation with partial R1 from the previous book, and trying these conditions. And page 39. Looking at the results, that the ligation is working well. The DNA polymerase degraded a lot. Polymerase plus ligase didn't work in this order, etc. So attempts at this experiment. Worrying about the enzymes, checking on them on page 43, Wednesday, January 31st, because of DNA polymerase appeared to digest the DNA, decided to check Biolabs DNA 1 and also Beringer Klenau preparation and S1. Conclusion, S1 is about 30 units per microliter. New and old ligation buffers are equivalent, and 15 ligation for ligation for 1 hour is only a little poorer than overnight at 4 degrees, and so forth. Try it in the BioLabs Pol 1 is good, try it again then. So we're continuing to try to get the clones. Quick check on this one for February 1st. Technical data on DNA polymerase 1 from BioLabs. With ligation tests on the sheared material February 1st. continue on page 51 that S1 degrades the DNA substantially. There is a small but greater than 10% extent of ligation with the Biolab SPOR1 plus ligase, etc., etc., attempting to get ligation. Effective kinase with R1 samples and shear samples on page 55. Ligations with Sharon 4A, page 57. We just condemned more and more tests and ligation in capital letters on Monday, February 5th. The three precipitated DNA samples taken up, etc., with distilled water and pooled it, and so on and so forth. And the conclusion is that DNA polymerase unstuck the ends of lambda, therefore ligate lambda plus R1 before this reaction. Ligation was, however, poor anyway, so trying to understand it. Ligation of lambda on page 61, ligation of cohesive ends went fine. Some recovery of fragments, material on February 6th, and February 6th, re-ligation of that material. Shear DNA, and etc., all those different tests. And with a disappointing result, conclusion, no improvement. The rescue attempts. Phenol extract and try again, page 66, with the following day doing it. Still no ligation. 4 days off for surgery on page 71. I don't remember what the surgery was. Back to work on Friday, February 16th. Remake of sheared DNA. Conclusion, it was sheared enough, perhaps a little too much. Gradient delta centrifuge on Saturday, February 17th. Getting a pool from different fragments, for different fractions. Test experiments for ligation of 4A with blunt ends and with R1 ends on Sunday, February 18th. Conclusion that all the enzymes worked apparently, although the polymerase wrecks the DNA fairly badly at 37 degrees. Continuing on testing various ligation functions on February 19th. I don't know the right spelling of Klenau. On page 83 it's Klebnau. GS points out the DNA polymerase large fragment is equivalent to Klebnow, which is, should be Klenow. DNA polymerase 1 is what I need. And so some schemes about what might happen. But on rereading Kornberg, it's doubtful if DNA polymerase 1 will work, but try it anyway, and also S1. Meanwhile, I get 4A and clean up further. Tests of DNA polymerase 1, as anticipated, this is Tuesday, February 20th. As anticipated, the DNA pol 1 is no different from DNA pol large. Test S1 and then work on ligation conditions, assuming the polymerase is working correctly. Still trying to ligate and fractionate. Ethanol precipitation instead of gradient centrifugation being tried on page 93. No detectable DNA in the supernatant. Precipitation of the DNA, all right, it appears to have been precipitated, okay. And we're looking at the gel on page 92. Final checks on the 4A phage on page 95. Post R1 on U93 and post and on U45 material. Long run and post ligation, etc. tests. Continuing blunt end tests on Sunday, February 25th. Never tired of repeating experiments. Overnight ligations on page 99. The results confirm earlier tests. No sign of blunt end ligation or no blunt ends. The R1 ligation is okay. The pol 1 ends must be wrong in some way. Test S1. So we're doing so on the next page. Looking at the S1 apparently working. I like the idea of testing an enzyme with known blunt ends, HEPA1, on page 103 and 102. New blunt end substrate tested. But there is no, as we test on page 105 and 104, there's no blunt end ligating activity in this T4 ligation ligase under these conditions. try other ligases or other conditions. They're not working. Blunt end ligation continued on page 107. Not able to find the conditions. Temperature tests on page 109. With a comment that 37 degrees doesn't work. And similar results on increased enzyme level and RNA ligase, etc. On page 111, conclusion, I can't do it with this T4 ligase alone. Or this buffer under these conditions. In other words, the experiment didn't work. Testing T4 DNA RNA ligase. No, that's DNA ligase. There's RNA ligase and DNA ligase. Difficult to read. It is actually an RNA ligase. That this is possibly the increased concentration of T4 ligase, which works is due to T4 RNA ligase impurity. So try adding the TA4 RNA ligase, etc. Why I would have thought to test RNA ligase beats me. But it doesn't look as if there was anything very satisfactory. Saturday, March 3rd, something was a little bit cheering up. Page 115, higher DNA concentration test and lower enzyme. Where the control had nothing, and then increasing amounts of not clear here, that can't be. I'll try this again. Saturday, March 3rd, higher DNA concentration being tested. Yes, so it is a concentration test, but the samples are diluted so that the gel shows them at the same concentration. So ranging from 125 micrograms per mil to 500 micrograms per mil. And there are definite increase in ligation with the because polymers are appearing. So the conclusion is at last a visible effect, exclamation mark. Slight but significant ligation at the highest and next highest DNA concentration level. So test an increase in the T4 ligase concentration. So I could see at last some ligation of the larger fragments. Smaller fragments don't appear to have changed appreciably. So trying a higher concentration of the ligase. With a comment on the conclusion on page 116 that the ligation is not much altered by increasing the concentration of ligase. But the results are so low at so low level that it would be wise to try the methylation series. So we're risking the DNA. A test for testing whether IVS intervening sequence S1 or intervening sequence 2 versus transcription, and assume we have all of A gamma. In other words, now we're talking about a bacteriophage, in which we think we have the whole of the A gamma gene at this point, showing a map of exon 1, 1 to 30, and exon 2, 31 to 121, and exon 3 to 122 onwards, with an R1 end and which looks like an EMBO. Maybe both ends are R1. But anyway, this is an mRNA of the structural gene. So we have the mRNA of the structural gene with an EMBO1 site, EMBO2 site, and an R1 site, and then similar sites in the genomic DNA clones. And testing for expression is the thought. A less elegant idea, but probably a lot easier on the next page. Since we can now buy a BAM R1 linker, at last, linkers can be bought. So talking about the constructs, and these are relatively easy to construct on page 124, but an assay for their function is much less available. Well, a digression on Tuesday, March 20th, page 129, Xenopus DNA prepared. And the next few pages are devoted to finding out what I've got with a spectrum, and a comment that this is not a DNA spectrum, so that the product must be a protein complex. Xenopus digestion of the Xenopus DNA. With a comment that the DNA, page 133, that the DNA is fine, large enough and digestible. The concentration must be about 0.5 micrograms per microliter, and it digested well with R1. Now going back to DNA for southern blots from 30.5, talking about some AKR female mice and liver DNA. In preparing DNA with Sarcosol and Proteinase K and the temperature, higher temperature. A series of R1 digests on the Xenopus levis DNA. On page 137. Digestion. Going back to it, continuing with it, time series on R1 on Xenopus levis DNA. Not understanding it. Thank you. So here was an experiment on page 139, Tuesday, March 27th, using Jerry Slifon's buffer and his EcoR1 with the Xenobus levis DNA, 5 minutes up through 60 minutes. 6.7 units per microgram, and a very clear digestion even in 5 minutes. The conclusion is that I overshot the amount of enzyme, therefore decreased the enzyme 2 to 3 fold. But there must be some inhibitor which is critically overcome, meaning that something in the preparation is inactivating the EcoR1, and then when that inhibitor is removed by adding the R1, then the reaction can proceed. Repeated the time series with Xenobus levis DNA, but with the conclusion that this DNA is too sheared to give the best types of particles, but can go ahead with it. So instead I went back to again to making DNA from Xenobus levis red cells, March 29th, page 143. Half a mil of packed red cells available, etc., etc. And preparing the DNA. Sarcosyl and proteinase K followed by extraction with phenol, hydroxyquinoline, and precipitation. And adding of diethyl pyrocarbonate. So this is now with this material. Again, Xenobus levis partial digest. No, this is still using the, on page 145, that's still using the earlier DNA. That the digestion went nicely. Close to ideal digestion schedule. So this was Xenobus levis partial digest on page 145, and they were onto a sodium chloride gradient. And the samples were taken from the gel, and quite good fractionation is observed.
Some tea?
Huh?
Do you want some more tea?
No, I'm all right. I got a little bit left. I'm not really like it. Sounds like it. So, continuing to purify the red blood cell Xenobus levis DNA on page 149. And 151, which is and on page 152, the end of the book. The DNA is still okay, but it will take 2 to 4 microliters of Equal One to digest 10 microliters. And that's the end of book U.